The epistle for the last Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you, and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. The Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains, and he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east, and appeareth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And these words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How speedily beauty, power, and happiness vanish at a breath. These words are those of St. Francis Borgia, and they were spoken on a day that changed his life forever. St. Francis Borgia was a Jesuit priest who lived in the 1500s. He was known for his piety and eventually he became the general of the Jesuit order. However, when he was young, he was quite a different man. He was a duke when he was young, a duke at the court of the emperor Charles V. And as a duke, he was surrounded by the riches of the life in court. And many of the nobles were impressed with Francis, especially the Empress Isabella, who found his talent very helpful in the kingdom. And she, in turn, was pleased with the attention and service of this young duke. Francis's one aim was to win the favor of the emperor and the Empress Isabella, so that he could get a higher position in the court. But one day, the emperor, Francis, and the whole city became very sad when they heard that Queen Isabella became very sick. She had contracted a terrible malady, a very mortal disease. And in the bloom of her youth, her beauty and her rule, Queen Isabella of Portugal passed away. And the emperor, of course, was heartbroken. And so he commissioned Francis, the young, loyal duke, to conduct the empress's remains for burial. So the funeral cortege arrived, with all the funeral regalia made for the royalty. The ornate coffin was opened according to custom. The officials had to identify the body as that of the late empress. And when they opened the coffin, Francis could hardly believe his eyes. The once fair and beautiful face of the empress was now disfigured beyond recognition. A repulsive odor filled the vault where they were standing, making it impossible to even stand near the grave. Because remember, in those days, they did not have the methods of preservation as we now have. And Francis just looked at her. He forced himself to look at her. He was just speaking with her but a few weeks ago. And at the sight of the once beautiful queen, and now even quite horrifying to look at, the reality of death really hit him, and the fact that one day he too must die. And thus he exclaimed, "Oh, how speedily beauty, power, and happiness vanish at a breath." The sight of the queen changed Francis forever. Thinking of all the riches he possessed, his high place in court, and then the sight of the very queen who helped him gain these, he promised, "Never again will I serve a created being whom death can take away from me." And he said, "Henceforth, I devote myself to God alone." And Francis lived the rest of his life often reflecting on death and preparing for his own death. Today, my dear faithful, is the last Sunday of the church year. The new church year will begin next Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent. And so the gospel of today's Mass is really like the church's final words to us, her last exhortation to us. And in the gospel, what does our Lord speak about? Our Lord speaks of the end and the destruction of the world. And so the church would have us also think about the end of our own world. That is, to think about our own death. For death is something that each and every single one of us must one day face. St. Alphonsus says, "In this world, one man lives longer, another shorter. But for everyone, sooner or later, the end must come." Sometimes when we pass a cemetery, or if we attend a funeral, or even now during the month of November, as we are especially remembering the poor, suffering souls in purgatory, we are reminded of the reality that death is to come to us. And reflection on death is actually good and beneficial to our soul. All the saints kept their end before their eyes. We often read that many of the saints, or sometimes we see pictures or statues where the saints have a skull with them. Some saints actually kept a skull on their desk. And this was a constant reminder that one day they too must die. And now sometimes we look at this, and especially those in the world, they look at this and they consider even the thought of death to be quite a morbid thing. It's something that shouldn't be talked about, especially with the children. The world considers death something to drown the reality of it away. We often read of celebrities and scientists spending fortunes on discovering ways to escape death. But our Lord is very clear about the fact of death. Our divine Savior says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words alone shall not pass away." And the thought of death, rather than depressing the saints, as it often does, the thought of death did not depress the saints. St. Francis de Sales, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Thomas More, they often thought of death. And all these saints are known for their cheerfulness. In fact, St. Thomas More is said to have been joking with his executioners when he was about to be put to death. And this is because they were ready to die, because they had lived their whole lives preparing for death. Not in an anxious way, but they always kept the thought before them, how will this act affect my eternity? They kept that thought ever before them. Will this action, this thought, will it send my soul to the eternal fires of hell? Or will this action be rewarded? Because I am truly trying as best as I can to do what God wants me to. And so the saints did not have that fear of leaving the world and their things, because they were not attached to the world. That's actually another reason why so many fear death, because they will be separated from those things that they are attached to. There are some people who are so attached to their smartphones, to the iPhones, that to be without it for even half an hour, it causes them anxiety. What will it be like when they have to leave their possessions for all eternity? St. Francis Borgia, no doubt, he had the image of the Queen ever before him, and he was determined not to become attached to the things of this world, but rather to place his whole life in the Sacred Heart. And so we know the great truth, the certainty of our own death. But my dear faithful, we do not know the hour nor the place. And death can come as quickly as a click of a button. And how dangerous this really can be. Because sin, especially in this day and age, with all the smartphones and the gadgets, sin can come also as quickly as a click of a button. And so, my dear faithful, it is a good practice, something the saints suggested, to ask ourselves before we do something, to ask ourselves, how will this affect my eternity? And to remember that one unrepentant mortal sin condemns a soul to hell. We often hear this from the pulpit, and sometimes we get used to hearing this fact. But let us actually consider what this means. Ask yourselves, if I were to die now, really, where would my immortal soul end? And my dear faithful, if we ever fall into grievous sin, we go to confession right away. we pick ourselves up. We pick ourselves up and we ask God for forgiveness. Remember, God became a man to forgive our sins. As we're about to enter into Advent and Christmas is coming closer, remember that Christ became a little infant, a babe in swaddling clothes, so that we would not go to hell, so that we can gain heaven. And so, my dear faithful, as we do think of our own passing away, again, not to think about it in an anxious way, but let us pray, always pray for a good and holy death. Pray for it every day. Let us pray to Saint Joseph, who is the patron of the dying. Let us pray to Saint Joseph that we too may have a peaceful death as he did. That is a good death because of the good and detached life he led. And because his death, which is one we want, his death was one surrounded by the angels. It was a death with our Blessed Mother right there. And it was a death with his divine Savior kneeling at his side. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.